We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
What happens today is we know Jefferson and Franklin and nobody else. We've been taught to recognize the least religious. You know, if you take even Jefferson and Franklin, there's no question that those guys are a whole lot more religious in their public expression. They were not secular. They were not anti-God. They were not even anti-Christian.
That's the voice of David Barton. He is the founder of Wall Builders. He's authored many popular books among, well, Christians who find it disturbing that Christianity is increasingly pushed from the public square. Barton's response is, well, he won't come out often and say it, that he believes that the United States is a Christian nation, but he certainly lets his many readers and hearers draw that conclusion themselves, and many of them do. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Monday afternoon. It's August the 20th. We're going to be talking about the scholarship of David Barton of Wall Builders. Do his claims hold historical water when he says that the founders were Christians, that Thomas Jefferson was closer to being an Orthodox mainline Christian than not? Michael Coulter will be our guest for the first few minutes of the program. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us after that. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Titus the pastor. We'll find out about the qualifications for the pastoral office. Dr. Stephen Osmet joins us in hour two of Issues Etc. We'll spend a few minutes with him talking about Germany, the Lutheran worldview, and the Euro crisis. He has written that very popular op-ed piece for the New York Times titled German Austerity's Lutheran Core. We'll see what he has to say. Then some audio open lines. The big news story that's all over the place today is about Missouri Senate candidate Todd Akin's remarks that he made on a local television program in the St. Louis market on rape and abortion. He was almost immediately called on the carpet by it by just about everybody, all the way up to President Obama, including his opponent in Missouri, and has subsequently withdrawn his comments and apologized for making them. I want your reaction to Todd Akin's rape and abortion comments. We'll be playing them for you a little bit in the news, some of the reaction from lawmakers and the president, and your thoughts, your comments, your reaction to Todd Akin's, he says, ill-conceived and wrong. That's what he says, ill-conceived remarks about rape and abortion. Audio open lines in hour two of Issues Etc. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. You can also leave your reaction to Todd Akin's rape and abortion comments at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Michael Coulter is professor of humanities and political science at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. He's co-author of a new book called Getting Jefferson Right, Fact-Checking Claims About Our Third President. Dr. Coulter, welcome to Issues Etc.
Tom, great to be here.
As far as you can tell from reading Barton's works on the Founding Fathers, Jefferson in particular, how does Barton, David Barton of Wall Builders, apparently define an Orthodox Christian?
It seems to me that, and again, I should say, he never states, like, these are the things that anyone should believe or must believe to be an Orthodox Christian. But there's an implied definition of, you know, belief in Jesus Christ as Son of God, and that Jesus, you know, raised from the dead, you know, sort of very traditional Christianity, fairly minimalist. I mean, it's not extensive like a Book of Concord or something, you know, a developed catechesis or anything like that, but seems basic fundamentals of the Christian faith.
Tell us about who David Barton is.
Sure. David Barton is the founder and president of an organization called Wall Builders. It's based outside of Fort Worth, Texas. And Barton has published some books through his own press called Wall Builders Press on sort of the religious foundations of America. He had a book called The Myth of Separation, but he most recently, and he's also been active in Republican Party politics. He was vice chair of the Texas GOP for a number of years. and has been called upon as a sort of advisor or endorser of Republican candidates in primary races. So and he has fans in high places like Mike Huckabee and Michelle Bachmann. Just most recently, he published a book with Thomas Nelson. It came out in April of this year called The Jefferson Lies. And that's, I think, where he's gained sort of the broadest national attention, because he's making a claim that sort of much of the received understanding of Thomas Jefferson is wrong, that he was far closer to traditional Christianity, that he was something of a civil rights pioneer. I mean, some rather provocative claims about Jefferson.
So, I know you can't speak for David Barton, but why do you think he is at pains to prove that the founders in general were mainstream Christians, and that Jefferson in particular was closer than many scholars have concluded to mainstream Christianity?
Right. You know, and again, this is a bit of speculation on my part, but sort of just following the work of Barton and his writings and speeches, I think that in some ways to claim that America, I think, is more Christian than I think the evidence really shows, does two things. It sort of strengthens our faith in America, would strengthen one's faith in America, at least for Barton, and strengthens your faith in Christianity. They're sort of mutually reinforcing. And again, Barton never says that directly. And I think generally the way Barton makes the argument about the assertions about the nature of American history is to say, you know, look, Christians this was much more of an explicit Christian country, and that's being covered over today. So it's a bit of a how should I put it? It's a bit of a victimization. You know, that we, you know, Christians today are in part victimized because our history is being excluded.
So what led you to concern yourself with Barton's scholarship, especially with regard to founding fathers?
Sure. That's a really good question. So I've had students over the last couple of years who've come to me and with claims from Barton that just didn't seem right. You know, 29 of the signers of the Declaration had ministry or seminary degrees, and like that can't quite be right. And you check it out, and it's not right. But I think so. Two things. Some things that he is widely used, particularly among homeschoolers, and I think that he's not a particularly careful historian, and I think that if Christians are going to be recognized as serious scholars, then we've got to, you know, carefully accept, you know, and investigate and accept the facts sort of as they are in American history. And it doesn't do a service to either America or Christianity to sort of cherry pick among facts or use them in a certain way that's not the truth. So I think it's, I mean, partly I'm motivated by a defense of Christian scholarship, that if Christians as scholars are going to be taken seriously, you know, we have to, in some sense, take the facts of American history as they are and not distort them.
So what are your main concerns as an historian, as a political scientist, when it comes to how Barton does what he does, and then the conclusions that he and his readers draw?
Yeah, I mean, my concern as a, you know, an academic and as a Christian is that it's a problem to I'll use the expression sort of cherry pick, you know, facts or a quote outside of a context, outside of a setting that's without properly understanding the context and the setting, and I think that just leads to all kinds of bad history or bad social science, and I think as Christians, we've got to be comfortable that God's in control, whether or not, you know, a particular founding father was a Orthodox Christian or not. So I think that would be, I think we've got to, you know, we just have to, you know, be honest and have with the facts. And someone characterized to me characterized that our scholarship has to be informed by integrity in all that we do. And so I think there's some, again, just sort of some jumping to conclusions, some taking things out of context, about the founding that we find in Barton that I think is just bad scholarship.
So he seems at pains to want to show that if not to a man, but then certainly the majority of the founders were Christians, were acting not only from Christian motivation or a Christian worldview, but from this is something he's been slippery with me on. I've interviewed him before because he won't just come out and say it. That in effect, the founders saw themselves as founding a Christian nation. He won't say theocracy, but he will say Christian nation. What are your concerns there?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that that doesn't fit the facts of the situation. There's obviously Christianity was important to many, many of the founders. It informed how they understood the world and how they designed political institutions, for example. We have the one reference in the primary body of the Constitution to religion is that there'd be no religious test. I think there was a clear sense of separating the institutions of religious life, churches and denominations and religious organizations, from the work of politics. Not that people engaged in politics wouldn't be informed by Christian morality, but those institutions were to be separate. I think that's also misunderstanding some of the political debate going on in the 1700s about sort of disentangling, these institutions. There was real fear of using political power in support of religion. It had led to harm in England. Using or letting religious power sort of, either way to separate these two powers that exist for human beings.
We'll take a break when we come back. Continue our conversation on the scholarship of David Barton of Wall Builders on this Monday afternoon, August the 20th. I'm Todd Wilk, and Dr. Mike Coulter is our guest. He's professor of humanities and political science at Grove City College in Pennsylvania, co-author of the new book, Getting Jefferson Right, Fact-Checking Claims About Our Third President. When we come back, some specific examples of what he's called here Barton's cherry-picking or out-of-context historical citations. More with Michael Coulter right after this.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love a truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What are the sources and origins of writings like the Book of Mormon, the Quran, and the Gospel of Thomas, and how do they compare to the Bible? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is One Word, Many Writings, A Study of the Origins of Religious Writings. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can find out more about One Word, Many Writings by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. One Word, Many Writings by Dr. Adam Francisco.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues, Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues, Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
As a matter of fact, Jefferson has 19,000 written letters. There are 6 letters in which he raises some questions about Orthodox Christian teachings. Everybody focuses on the 6. They don't touch the 19,000.
That's David Barton. He's claiming that those who say that Thomas Jefferson was not an Orthodox Christian against his claims, are cherry-picking the evidence. Well, it's emerging so far in our conversation with Dr. Michael Coulter that Barton does a fair amount of cherry-picking of his own when he tries to prove that Jefferson is closer to being an Orthodox Christian than not. It's all part of Barton and Wall Builder's greater goal here, and that is to try and make the claim either explicitly or implicitly that the United States is a Christian nation. We're talking with Dr. Michael Coulter. He's author of the book Getting Jefferson Right, Fact-Checking Claims About Our Third President. Dr. Coulter, before the break, you talked about the cherry-picking the out-of-context historical citation. Give us some specific examples in Barton's scholarship.
Yeah, I think, for example, when he talks about the Jefferson Bible, or the so-called, there's two versions that Jefferson did during his life, 1804 and 1820, when he cut out portions of the New Testament. So Barton will say, well, that Jefferson includes miraculous elements. And there are actually a few sort of miraculous stories included in the 1804 abridgment, which, by the way, wasn't intended for public use. Jefferson made it very clear he never disseminated his edition. But what Jefferson leaves out, both of the 1804 and 1820 version, is the resurrection, and he never mentions that. So if Jefferson leaves, without the resurrection, what St. Paul say, we of all men most miserable. And so you've got to tell that to your readers as well. Okay, include a healing instance, but he also did not include the resurrection. In the case of slavery, he argues that Jefferson is really just encumbered by the laws of Virginia. But when he quotes the 1782 law that allowed Virginians to free their slaves, he includes in the portion he quotes about how people could free their slaves at their death. But there's an ellipsis where it says, or you could free them through a deed or written instrument to your local county court. It sort of just glosses over the idea that Jefferson could have freed some slaves between 1782 and 1806. So it's, and I think he mischaracterizes how the law changes later. I mean, those are some instances in the, he characterized Jefferson as financing a thing called the Hot Press Bible. Well, the Hot Press Bible really had subscribers. There were about 1,300 of them. Jefferson paid a subscription fee like everybody else. So if you say that Jefferson helped finance the Hot Press Bible, it gives you the impression that he is, you know, a significant investor or contributor with the aim of disseminating the Bible. When you see it as he's one of 1,300 subscribers to this kind of expensive printing technique at the time, I think it puts a different context on it. He was a person interested in religion. Of course, it's not a surprise that he would buy this particularly significant printing of the Bible in the United States. There's a lot of little small, you know, they seem like small instances. But I think when you add them up, they become significant. Barton likes to quote that Jefferson signed some presidential documents in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only documents he signed to that effect are what are called C letters. A C letter was a pre-printed form. A president would sign, and directors or operators of commercial vessels would carry them so that when they were approached by armies or navies of other countries, they could show that they are a commercial vessel. It's the same pre-printed form that Washington used, that John Adams used, in fact, used up until the 1830s. So I don't think it tells us anything about Jefferson's personal beliefs that he signed a C letter, for example. There are a number of those kinds of things, I think, that you find in, I think they seem small when you add them up. Okay, I'll just get, tell me when to stop, but I'll give another one. Barton says that Jefferson signed a treaty that paid for missionaries to go and evangelize Indians in Illinois, the Kaskaskia Indians. There were lots of treaties with Indian groups in the early part of the 19th century. And in this case, the federal government said, you know, in exchange for this piece of land that you made a claim to, we're going to give you this other land, and we'll support a Catholic priest for a group of Indians who are already Catholics for 7 years. So it wasn't a missionary that was sent to the Kaskaskia Indians. It was the support of a priest for a group that were already Catholic. So, I'll pick one more, but Barton says that Jefferson signed a treaty that included in its title for the propagation of the faith. But again, this is another one of these land settlement treaties at the time. There was a group that held land in trust for Indians called the Society of Brethren for the Propagation of the Faith. So, the intent of the treaty is not to propagate the faith. The intent of the treaty is to give the title of this land, entrust the title of this land to this religious organization. So I think that's the case of what we're, that's what we see, examples of. That's what we found, and we really just wanted to put in one place a kind of analysis of some of the claims made by Barton. So that's all we did, is we just kind of compiled our sort of fact checking and put it together, first as an ebook, and now it's available in paperback.
On the other side of the ledger there, dealing with the evidence that Barton purports shows that Jefferson himself was in the mainstream of Christianity. Other than the Bible, which to me is the Jefferson Bible, which to me is a lot of evidence that he at least privately denied the cardinal articles of the faith. Is there other evidence that you guys have been able to uncover that Jefferson was the very least a deeply skeptical religious man?
Well, certainly, in some private, there's a few private letters we quote. It's actually surprisingly how rarely Jefferson comments on his own religious beliefs. He does decline in 1788 to be a godparent for a friend's child because he wasn't comfortable standing up and professing belief in the Trinity. There are some letters in 1814. He and John Adams were correspondents late in their lives, where he sort of castigates a lot of things about traditional religion as well as Platonic philosophy as being, kind of silly, but sometimes it was more not as much. Barton argues that the Jefferson was influenced by a movement sometimes known as Restorationism, sometimes known as Christian Primitivism, that became prominent in Southern Virginia in the 18-teens and 1820s. And notes that they had de-emphasized this group certain traditional Christian language, like they didn't like using the word Trinity, as it wasn't found in the Bible. But we've found Barton offers no strong linkage between Restorationism and Jefferson, and we can't find any. We went through this one prominent Restorationist that Barton tries to link to Jefferson. But we requested from Elon College's library in North Carolina the personal papers of James O'Kelly, and went through them and can't find any letter where he mentions, Jefferson, any letter from Jefferson, there's just no connection. They happen to be in the same geographic region, but they don't seem to be mutually influential to one another. So,
three quick final questions here. Do you think part of the problem here is not so much the explicit claims that Barton makes, which he does make a fair number of them, but the conclusions he allows his readers, I think, knowingly to draw based upon his implications?
Yeah, I think that's right. Is that there are a lot of implications here from the text that Barton never comes out and directly says he's an absolutely rock solid, Orthodox Christian, Jefferson. Kind of hints at it in different places. And says that the traditional critiques of or characterizations of Jefferson are not correct. So I think you're exactly right when you say that there's something about the reader sort of draws these implications. I think even just the very nature of the title, The Jefferson Lies, and each chapter in his book is formed around a myth, it's sort of encouraging readers to draw the conclusion that, everything you've been sort of taught by the sort of professoriate is wrong, and I'm kind of revealing this sort of hidden truth for you. So I think you're right. There's something that about the way that the book is written that does encourage readers to, you might say, to read into it, some problematic conclusions.
In actual practice, do you think that David Barton's definition of Orthodox Christianity, at least when it comes to Jefferson, is closer to the Bible or to kind of generic American civil religion?
So where, forgive me on that, but it, so Jefferson's closer to American civil religion? Yeah, that's where I would put him. I mean, Jefferson praised elements of Jesus' moral teaching. He certainly, I don't think that Jefferson, and I think most people who real, you know, serious Jefferson scholars would agree, that Jefferson was not an atheist. He believed in, I think he believed in a divine presence in the world in some way, but it's kind of the "in God we trust," you know, version of religion. Not very specific, there's a moral component to it, and so I would think he's definitely closer to, you know, the sort of elements of American civil religion than, you know, historic Christianity.
Dr. Michael Coulter is our guest. We're talking about the scholarship of David Barton of Wall Builders on this Monday afternoon, August the 20th. When we come back, a couple more questions for him. You know, we wouldn't probably be talking about David Barton. He did have a real popularity among kind of the general Christian crowd before the advent of Glenn Beck, and Glenn Beck deciding that David Barton was going to be his scholar in residence for, well, whatever it is Glenn Beck wants to be pushing on a day-to-day basis. I wonder, what does it say to Dr. Coulter that Barton's, well, at least one of Barton's main apologists is Mormon, Glenn Beck? Stay tuned. We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received Him, who believed in His name, the Gospel of John says, He gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
In the wake of the Summer Olympics, I'm finding out about some really great athletes. Of course, their athletic abilities are high, but I'm talking about character. Take Lolo Jones, one of America's best track and field competitors. Lolo placed fourth in the 100 meters hurdle heat and got lots of flack. She's known for being a devout Christian who's saving sex for marriage. After the race, bloggers posted countless vile and disgusting comments, even cheering, saying Lolo would run faster if she had sex. Sadly, it's as if they hate her because of her virtue. Maybe they're jealous of what they threw away and Lolo is protecting. Please pray for Lolo that God will aid her efforts to follow the Lord's will and reward her faithfulness with a great husband.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking about the scholarship of David Barton of Wall Builders. Dr. Michael Coulter is our guest for the next few minutes of the program. Then Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson on Titus the pastor. Speaking of Thomas Jefferson, you realize how completely wrong-headed it was for him to go cutting things out of the New Testament, because he obviously knew nothing about the origins and the reliability of the New Testament historically. Had he, even if he weren't a Christian, he would have had at least the respect for the New Testament that a historian might have for it. You can find out more about the reliability and the sources and origins of the New Testament vis-a-vis other religious writings in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, One Word, Many Writings by Dr. Adam Francisco. It's available from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Coulter, I don't think we'd be, or I don't think David Barton would have the popularity and currency that he does today if it were not for Glenn Beck, who has made him one of his kind of scholars in residence. What does it say to you that one of Barton's main apologists is Mormon Glenn Beck?
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit I don't entirely know what to make of it. I mean, I know that certainly within Mormonism, obviously America is incredibly important within sort of Mormon theology and history. And sometimes, you know, the sort of Christian, you know, religious America is connected there. But I mean, I think in general, Beck, and I'm no expert on Glenn Beck, so be careful here. But I mean, I think he likes to you know, criticize, you might say, some of the received wisdom that you might get or received understanding from academics, like to sort of pit himself against that. You know, there's a populist bent to Beck so I think that's part of it. I think that's part of why he's drawn to Barton. And the two of them are obviously incredibly closely connected these days with, you know, Beck has been the most vocal defender of Barton, and, you know, since the book was pulled by Thomas Nelson.
Finally, then, how would you respond to someone who says, look, you're just another one of those liberal revisionist historians?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my personal political and religious views, by any measure, I'm not a liberal. And I think what we're trying to do here is, anyone who wants to write a book and make a claim should be willing to defend those views. I think that's part of it. Every person is subject to analysis and criticism. And second, I mean, I think Christians, we have a duty, I think, to get the facts right and to not use or misuse aspects of history to prove some kind of theological point. I mean, I think we should believe that, you know, God is sovereign and strong enough and powerful enough not to need a particular country to be, you know, part of his plan of salvation. So I mean, this is about really Christians and scholars, you know, getting things right. And it's really not a liberal versus conservative fight here going on.
Dr. Michael Coulter is professor of humanities and political science at Grove City College in Pennsylvania, co-author of the new book, Getting Jefferson Right, Fact-Checking Claims About Our Third President. You can find out about this book under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Coulter, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. God bless you.